Welcome to the Ask Dr. Deanna Show. I'm Dr. Deanna Osborne, your host. Join me weekly as I cover various health-related lifestyle medicine topics that you get to request. This show is for anyone who wants to proactively improve their health position. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Ask Dr. Deanna podcast. Today, we've got a new topic. We've been kind of a little bit all over the place so far this year. We've talked, spent a lot of time on intermittent fasting. We've spent a lot of time on weight loss, hormone balance. We've talked a lot about gut health as well, and even insulin resistance. And today, I kind of want to start in a new direction with the next couple of podcasts anyway, but I want to talk about disease management through lifestyle medicine. Lifestyle medicine is kind of a newer area. It's basically part of functional medicine, and it's in a sense where you adapt or you know, in some cases, custom create coronary artery disease. It could be high cholesterol. It could be a number of different conditions. And basically, we know that lifestyle would include maybe our activity level. It might include what we're eating, but that lifestyle can have a dramatic impact on that disease process. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I want to start off with the whole topic of reversing type 2 diabetes, because type 2 diabetes is in fact a reversible condition, and you can reverse that through diet and lifestyle. That does not mean that your predisposition toward diabetes goes away, okay? So when you look at how our bodies are made or really our genetic code, some of us are predisposed to diabetes. You usually know if that's you because it runs in your family. Everybody in your family's got type 2 diabetes, that sort of thing. And so when you see somebody who has a predisposition, a genetic predisposition for a disease, and that could be inflammatory arthritis, diabetes, you know, autoimmune thyroid disease, whatever, just because they have that gene, it does not mean that they are going to get that condition. And a lot of people, I know I was in that category, especially during medical school. I just thought, well, if you have that gene, then, you know, there's a high likelihood that you will end up with this. What we didn't know then, but we do know now, is that you can have a dramatic impact on those genes based on your lifestyle and what you are eating and you know, how you live life and so forth. Another good example would be some people have a genetic predisposition for something called peripheral vascular disease. And if they smoke, they are much more likely to develop peripheral vascular disease. So the decision to not smoke would be a lifestyle decision, and that would fall into that lifestyle medicine category. So that's just kind of one example. So let's talk a little bit about type 2 diabetes and reversing that, because wow, when I think about the number of people who have been diagnosed with pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes, it is tremendous. There are a lot of people out there. I have a number of patients. And so I thought, this is something that I definitely need to record because this comes out April 1st. And that's always when it's the first one of the month, I can always remember which episode it is. And then we'll try to title it in such a way that it's easy to remember as well. But first of all, let's start by talking about what is it exactly? What is type 2 diabetes? It's different from type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is more of an autoimmune condition in which the pancreas just simply stops producing insulin. So for those people, you think about juvenile diabetes when somebody's diagnosed as a child or as a young adult is usually when we see that. And for those people, their pancreas just simply stops making insulin. And so they have to inject insulin. They have no choice but to use subcutaneous insulin to basically bring their blood sugar down. Type 2 diabetes, on the other hand, is a condition whereby your pancreas is making too much insulin. You've got plenty of insulin on board, but what happens is your cells become resistant to the insulin that your pancreas is producing. So we call that insulin resistance, okay? Also, it kind of interchangeable. Insulin resistance is also interchangeable with prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. Okay. So there's this sort of continuum. And I suspect that many of us will have varying levels of insulin throughout the day. And depending on what we're eating or just different time periods, maybe over the holidays, whatever. And for some people, they may even be, in a sense, just touching their toe on insulin resistance, but then they rein it back in. Maybe they include some intermittent fasting, which is a fantastic tool for reversing type 2 diabetes, by the way. But so that's what it is. Okay. So why does your pancreas produce too much insulin in the case of type 2 diabetes? It's because your cells have been basically bathing in this insulin and they stop responding to it. They become resistant to it. That's why we call it insulin resistance. So then your pancreas says, oh, well, the blood sugar's still high. I need to make more. And it will pump out more and more. And what happens over time is as the insulin levels are high, you are going to gain weight. Insulin is actually a growth hormone and it will cause weight gain. It'll send the message to store that sugar, to pack it in your body, in the liver, and on the abdomen, the thighs, et cetera, basically store it as fat. So then we end up storing fat and you look back and you go, oh my gosh, gained 10 pounds this past year. And then the next year, 10 more pounds. And before you know it, you're significantly overweight and feel like you're so far off course, you don't know how to even get back. So that's really what type 2 diabetes is. How do we identify it? A couple of ways you can identify it. Historically, it's been with an A1C. An A1C is a measurement that tells us what is your average blood sugar over the past 90 days. So that would give us a good idea of a type 2 diabetic. Also, you can do just a routine, fasting blood sugar or a random blood sugar can sometimes give you an idea. The A1Cs may be a little more sensitive because it gives you just different information. But you also can test this by checking insulin levels. This is one of the reasons, as part of my routine annual wellness exam, I like to check an insulin level, a fasting insulin level on my patients. And it's because they're fasting. If their insulin level is high, then I know we've got a problem and they probably are insulin resistant. So that's just another way of looking at that. And then what do we do? How can we reverse this disease? So now you know what it is. And I think that understanding a disease and what is underlying that disease is helpful in then understanding how to reverse it or how to better manage it. Okay. So for some people, it becomes just management. For some people, it becomes complete reversal of the disease. So how do we do that? So what I do in my practice to help people get control of this and get that A1C back to a normal range. So normal range would be 5.6 or less. So what do we do? Well, number one, I introduce them to intermittent fasting. This is a lifestyle choice, intermittent fasting, which is so easy to implement. It costs absolutely nothing. And it becomes a sustainable lifestyle that allows you to have better control, of your glucose. Now, when I talk about intermittent fasting, to start out with, you can go back and listen to the February fasting series, 4 or 5 different podcast recordings that are specifically designed to guide you through intermittent fasting. But when I talk about intermittent fasting, I usually start off with a 12-hour fast at night. For a person who's diabetic, who is on medication, specifically on insulin or a medication that drops your blood sugar too low, you have to be more careful with fasting. Okay. And as a person begins to introduce intermittent fasting, they will need to lower that medication sometimes. So if you decide, if you're diabetic and you decide that you're going to do this plan, number one, do it in conjunction with your doctor. Okay. I'm going to talk about the diet that I recommend to my patients, but do it in conjunction with your doctor. And let them know because you may need to have your numbers checked more frequently and then adjusted a medication accordingly as well, especially if you're on insulin as a type 2 diabetic. Adding in the intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is the number one tool to make your cells more sensitive to the insulin or more responsive to the insulin that your pancreas is producing. So that is an incredible thing. Just that, if you hear nothing else today, that alone is huge. Okay. So starting with a 12 hour, and then when people have 12 hours down, I will move them to 14 hours so that they basically go 14 hours on a fast without eating. And then we'll move ideally to a 16. Again, check with your doctor. Make sure that it's okay. You know, if you are on insulin, especially, you may have to alter when you're taking that. All right. So intermittent fasting becomes a key component. The other key component would be what I call a plan that is essentially, and I'm gonna state it like this, but I don't mean it in this way from a legalistic standpoint. Okay. So I call it no sugar, no grains, and nothing to eat after dinner. No sugar, no grains, and nothing to eat after dinner. So sometimes people will see me write that as NSNG, no sugar, no grain. What do I mean by that? I'm basically helping, especially my diabetics, insulin resistant patients, or type 2 diabetics, I should say, to bring down the carbohydrate load, to dramatically reduce the carbohydrates that they're getting in their diet, because the carbohydrates are what will spike their blood sugar, thereby increasing their insulin levels. So we want to control that. And what I found is that it's actually very easy and sustainable for people to lower their carb count to no more than 50 grams per day. If you think about a slice of toast, that's usually about 20 grams of carbohydrates. So we're talking about lowering the carbohydrate content. So what do people eat when they lower their carbs? So when you think about carbs, that's your white rice, your sugar, your white flour, your pasta, you know, all those things that you already know are bad. But what do people eat in place of those things? Well, they eat good quality sources of protein. Okay, so good protein. They also eat good quality fat, lots of veggies. And so that's really the key. And it doesn't mean, like, for most of the time when I'm working with patients, it's not uncommon for me to see their A1C drop, you know, down, you know, to 6 or whatever, just with this plan, with just going low carb. You know, not only does it have a positive impact on their blood sugar profile, their insulin sensitivity, but it also has an amazing, you know, response to other conditions. Specifically, you know, we'll see a reduction in joint pain, an improvement in mental clarity, you know, an improvement in lipid panels. Specifically, LDL, which is bad cholesterol, is responsive to intermittent fasting. So that's a good way to help bring the LDL down as well. So lots of other great benefits that can kind of go along with this. So what would a typical day look like? Because I'm saying this to you and you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, she's crazy. How could I reduce carbs to 50 grams, right? Okay, so a typical day, and I'll walk you through, you know, a day that might be my day, for example. And, you know, for me, I do have type 2 diabetes throughout my family. It's very, very common, both type 1 and type 2. And so I try to be mindful of this. But basically, I typically will fast about 16 hours a day. I usually will break my fast with a really healthy, clean protein shake that is, you know, a clean source and a highly digestible form of protein. Some people like plant-based. That's fine. That's actually my preference for protein shake. But anyway, I'm getting 20 to 24 grams of protein per serving with that, lots of vitamins, minerals, etc. I may add some additional fat, which could be like a half an avocado. You know, it might be a fourth a cup of pecans would be a healthy fat. You know, some things like that, that I would maybe add in addition, or I may just do the shake. And then, after that, I will typically have a main meal, and, that could be, a piece of, you know, really clean, clean sourced meat. It might be salmon. I like to order, salmon from Alaska. So I might, you know, do a piece of salmon and a half a plate of vegetables. If I am hungry and it is still in my eating window, okay, so I have about an 8-hour eating window. If I'm hungry and it's still in my eating window, then I may have another protein shake. You know, I may add that in. But basically, that's the plan. And then no snacks after that. That's really, really key. Because again, when you are fasting, you got to start with that 12 hours every night, no matter what. Your cells are becoming more sensitive, more receptive to the insulin that your body's making. So isn't that fascinating to think that here we've got a condition that is created because of all of the grain that we're eating, all of the grain. By the way, if you go back and you look at what I just kind of walked you through, that's probably closer to 20 grams of carbohydrates. Okay. So it's very, very low carb and really easy to follow. So there are times that I can go up a little bit. I do try to stay under 50 pretty much, across the board all the time. But it's amazing to me to think that here is a disease that we have caused, you know, just in our society, we have caused this condition with our obesity epidemic and with the tremendous amount of grain that we get in our diet. You know, I have always asked my patients, you know, who are farmers, hey, if you want to fatten up your cow, what do you feed it? And they'll immediately say grain. Well, yes, that's correct. And what's happening is that why does the cow gain so much weight on that grain? Because it's making their blood sugar go high. It's making their insulin levels go high. And the insulin is sending the message, store it as fat. So it's a great way to fatten yourself up. Eat lots and lots and lots of grain. But that's not healthy. That's not what we want. But so here is a condition that we are creating, okay, that in a sense is self-induced, but that we can restore our cells back to a normal level just by going back to more of a normal eating pattern. And so if you think about, you know, this intermittent fasting approach, as well as eating, a protein source, and then eating, a main meal that would be half a plate of vegetables and some sort of meat, it's very much a hunter-gatherer style of eating, quite honestly. I would imagine in a society that were considered to be hunter-gatherers, they probably did not eat first thing in the morning. You know, they may have had to go out and hunt and gather their food, and maybe that would be some seeds. Maybe that would be some plant-based protein that they would find, and you know, maybe they would eat that, but then they would end up eating a main meal at some point during that day that probably consisted of meat that the hunters would kill during that day, and you know, maybe whatever was gathered, which could be vegetables, seeds, whatever. So I think that again, this is a sustainable approach. Add in there exercise, because you know, from my experience, one of the fastest things to bring an elevated blood sugar down is exercise. Okay, exercise works beautifully to help lower blood sugar. In fact, one of the most common times that we will see diabetics drop low, have a sugar or have a low blood sugar reading, is when they're exercising. It's because they've got medication on board, whether that's an oral medication or whether it's, you know, one of the insulins or whatever. So there's medication on board. Now they're exercising, and that will drop their blood sugar low. So if you can add in daily exercise, even if it's just a daily 20-minute brisk walk, you are doing so much good for the control of your blood sugar. And as you get that down, and if you have time, you can do an additional walk again later in the day, and it will absolutely show up. So what I've just explained is really lifestyle medicine. It is incorporating some exercise, diet, and a lifestyle technique of intermittent fasting to help reverse or manage type 2 diabetes, which is also called insulin resistance. So I get excited about this because I love it when people don't have to take medication. You know, that's the best. When you can reverse a disease and no longer have to deal with it, even after you've reversed it, you still have to be mindful of the fact that, you know, I have a predisposition to this. And that means that I can't go crazy on vacation, or I can't go crazy over the holidays. I still have to include the intermittent fasting and help my cells to be super sensitive to the insulin that my body's making. But I'm excited for you to try it if you fall in this category. And I know you will get results. And I'm again partner with your doc, especially if you are on medication. But if you're that person who's not on medication for their type 2 diabetes and just really wants a way to manage this without going on the medication, this is absolutely for you. I would absolutely recommend trying this approach before moving on to something else. And so it's exciting because I know that it can make a difference for so many people and, you know, without the side effects of the medication. So thanks so much for joining me. I hope you'll join in again next week. Next week, we will be talking about other approaches that I consider to be a lifestyle medicine to basically impact, positively impact disease, to help you better manage a disease and or even reverse that particular disease. So thanks so much for joining and have a great day. I hope you enjoyed that episode. For more information, visit me at deannaosborne.com. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dr. Deanna Osborne. I really want to hear from you, so message me. I love taking your messages and creating topics from them. Please rate, review, subscribe, and share my show with those who have an interest in health and wellness. Thank you for tuning in and see you next week.